Hello and welcome. This is James Madouk speaking, and you're watching another boardcast. And again, if you haven't seen these before, these are all part of the web marketing. And I'll write this down in case you don't have it. Web marketing for small business website. And you can find that, obviously. You're probably at it right now, but it's www.webmarketingforsmallbusiness.com. And this site has over, I think there's 550 multimedia training sessions right now. About 400 of them are video, whiteboards, or screen captures, about another 100 audio files. But this is like the Home Depot for web marketers. Everything that you possibly could want to know about web marketing is in the site. And today, what we're going to be doing is talking about a little bit more on niches. And this is in a series. Actually, I have another product coming out called Niche Marketing Secrets. And this piece is really important because last time we talked about finding out keywords, keyword searching, finding out the demand for the products that those keywords work at. But there's a real, real important piece about making sure that you have a checklist for your niche and to make sure that the particular niche meets all of these requirements. And in fact, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the top 10 requirements that your niche market has to have. Now, why are we doing this? Well, I'll give you an example. Every year at the end of the summer, which is it is right now, in our local community, there's a community fair. And if you've ever seen these fairs, they're the ones there's like six rides, and it's like a miniature exhibition or carnival. It's not like the one that perhaps your big city or town has. It's just a small one for the local community. And there's always those games. Have you ever seen them? The kids love to play them. It's always that one where you basically you have this big sort of pool, and everyone stands around it, and there's all of these fish that are in this swirling water. And there are little fish all over the place, and they're different colors. Some of them are yellow, some are blue, some are red. And all of the kids stand around, and of course they go fishing. So on the tip of each fish, there's a piece of metal. And the kids stand by the side, and they've got their fishing rod. And dangling from the rod, they have a magnet. And that magnet, of course, the job is to hook onto one of the fish and pull it out. And depending on which fish you have, what color or what number, for example, is on the fish, you get a different prize. So really, it's a pretty neat environment when you think about it, because you're guaranteed to get a prize. It's, you know, some people go fishing, for example, because they enjoy the sport of fishing. When a kid goes to the X, or when a kid goes to the county fair, they just want to win the prize. They want to win the prize. Okay, so it's winning the prize versus doing it for fun. And this is something that's really interesting, because if you think about it, you have to decide if your marketing or your business, what are you doing it for? For fun or for the prize? Or, what I prefer to do, for both. So what's the prize in this case? Well, for me, it's time and money. Time and money. I want a lot more free time, and I want a lot more money. And I do that by shooting fish in a barrel. Now, Let me think about that for a second. Remember the kids, they're hanging out by the fair. They know that as soon as they dip their rod, they dip their fishing pole into that swirling pool of water, they already know that there's tons of prizes there. They know that they're going to catch something, and they're going to catch it. They just don't know what it is specifically they're going to catch. So they've got part of the equation, and I want you to think about that. If you do something for fun, generally, you don't know what it is that you're going to catch. Okay? If you do it to get the prize, you know exactly what to catch. You know exactly what you're going to catch. And this is the big difference for most marketers. They're going, I have no idea what I'm going to catch. I'm just going to throw it out there and see what happens. And they do it for fun. But I think it's a lot more valuable if you set your business up and you go, man, I want the prize. I want to earn more money. I want to build a business. I want to be in control of my income. I want more free time. Those are the things that you can get when you understand this little niche checklist. So let's go through it. It's very, very simple, but I want you to evaluate it and use it every time you think, what am I going to have for my customers today? And think of it this way. If I go to that little X or that fair again with the kids and I know that there's certain prizes in there, I want to know what prize I'm going for in advance, and I want to know where they are, which one's which. So I want to know exactly what prize and where they are. So how do you do that, and how do you know that the market that you're looking at has these? Well, let's take a look at this target customer, this target market. And again, these are all terms that we talk about, and we'll get into more detail in another session about making sure that you have them. But I want you to understand, here's the checklist of what they have to look like before you get started. Now, the first one is they have to be passionate. They have to have a passion for whatever it is they're doing. Now, hopefully, if you've been with me for a while, you know, am I passionate about web marketing? Yeah, of course I am. I've got 100 different sites, all with different topics, and I do stuff every day on it because I love it. I'm passionate about it. When I have a chance to talk to neighbors or friends, do I talk about web marketing? No, but sometimes it gets in the conversation because I relate everything back to that. So your market, the people that you're talking to, the people that you want to know are in that barrel, the fish in the barrel. You want to know that they're really passionate about the topic. Whatever topic you've picked out, whatever theme, whatever market, you want to make sure, number one, that they're really, really passionate. Okay? Now, what is that passion? Passion means an excitement. But the other thing you want to do is, if you can find them and make sure that they make irrational decisions. Now, how do you know that? How do you know that? Here's an example. If you ever watch, let's say, Sex and the City, for example, there's always the commercials I see for Sex and the City, and one of the women in that particular show has something like 200 pairs of shoes. Now, I don't know about you, but 200 pairs of shoes, that's almost one pair of shoes a day. That's a pretty irrational decision-making process when you consider what do you need, logically, versus what do you want, emotionally. Someone who makes irrational decisions, when they decide or they're thinking about your topic or market, what that means is that logic gets pushed to the side and they make decisions with their heart, with their emotions. And you want to find a market that the people are passionate about, they're talking about, they have energy and excitement for, but you also want to find one where that logic can get pushed to the side. Now, if someone buys a Gucci handbag versus a purse, what's the difference? They both serve the same function, but one is an irrational decision that gets justified. Think about it. A Gucci purse, someone spends $500,000, $600,000 on a purse. To me, that's an irrational decision. Someone in your market, if they make those kind of decisions about your topic or theme, excellent, excellent niche. Now, the other thing is, obviously, they've got to have some money. They have to have money to spend. This goes without saying. If you have someone who's really passionate, like I can be passionate about Rolls-Royce automobiles. I could make irrational decisions about Rolls-Royce automobiles as if I'd want one, but if I don't have the money for it, am I a good target customer, target market? No, you've got to make sure that they have the money to spend. Money, they have disposable income, they have money to spend so that you're able to give them what they want in exchange for that money. Okay? I'm going to wipe these off. We'll go over the next three. So we've got passion, irrational decisions, money. What else? What else? Well, number four. What's number four? Number four is if you can find someone who's already bought before. Now, what does that mean? I'm going to give you a quick sales lesson. There's an old formula in sales called attention, interest, desire, action. It's the oldest thing in the book. There's variations on it. The bottom line is that if someone's bought before or made the purchasing decision before to buy something in that market, you don't have to grab their attention about your product or service. You don't have to create interest, and they already have a proven desire for it. So if you find a market where someone has already bought a product or service before, guess what? They're already three-quarters of the way through the sales process, and that work is done for you. So what does it mean to you? Things can happen a lot faster. A lot faster. Now, number five is insatiable. Hope I spelled it correctly. What does insatiable mean? Insatiable means that they're never satisfied. They're never satisfied. And never satisfied means that they are repeat buyers. Now, let me give you an example. Here's a really good example. If anyone has a color inkjet printer, or an inkjet printer. If you have an inkjet printer, what do you have an insatiable supply for? Cartridges. There's an example where if you do printing, you have to have cartridges. So they get you started with one cartridge, but then you have a demand or an existing demand for a part of your solution. So that's one in a commodity item. Another one might be, for example, if you're thinking about info products, stock trading is a classic example. There's someone who has an insatiable desire to find the newest, the latest, the biggest, the best. They're always looking for the edge, so they're never satisfied with their results. They always want to find out how they can do more or how they can do better. Okay? And in fact, it almost becomes, which is the sixth one, addictive. Addictive. Now, what's a good example of something that's addictive? Well, if you have young kids, you know that PlayStations and Xboxes are addictive. And so are the games that go with them. I know adults that are playing Doom and all of these role-playing games online because they're addicted to it. And they have an insatiable desire to repeat or continue to play. So if you can find a market where the activity of purchasing and or the use of your product or service becomes addictive, that's a huge bonus. A huge bonus. So there's the first six. Let's cross this off and go on to the next one. And again, I'm going through these quickly, and you can obviously get into a lot more detail on them, but I want you just at the end of this to write down the list, and when you're thinking about it, what am I going to look at for my particular market, or how can I use this checklist for my market and make sure that in fact you've got them all checked off. Now, here's number seven. You have to be able to reach them with your offers and your message. So, for example, it's almost like if someone's in, if someone's stuck in a prison and they have no access to the internet, the TV, to anything, to mail, to the radio, they don't get anything, how are you possibly going to market to them? You have to be able to reach them with your message. Now, this can be done through you directly or with partners. And if you're interested in that, I have a whole course called Joint Venture Traffic that shows you how to do it through partners. So you have to be able to reach them with your messages and your offers so that you can actually persuade and influence them. Number eight. We've talked about this a little bit. Already interested. What does already interested really mean? Well, think about this. When someone goes to buy something, when someone goes to make a purchase decision, there's two kinds of people, and I've used this in the Home Depot as an example. The Home Depot, if someone goes to a store, they've either made the decision to purchase already and they're looking for a solution, or they don't know that they have a problem. So, for example, if someone has plumbing that isn't working properly or electrical that isn't working properly, they go to the Home Depot because they know they have to go to the plumbing department or the electricity department to get something fixed. On the other hand, if someone has no idea that they've got a leak in their plumbing yet, are they going to go to the Home Depot? No, they're not even interested. They have no reason to go there. So if you can find people who already know they have a problem, guess what? They're already interested because they're looking for your solution. Okay? And that really comes into number nine. They're motivated. Now, what's the difference between knowing you have a problem and number nine, motivated? Well, motivated means you're ready to act. Now, let me give you an example. I'm a procrastinator. I tend to do things at the last minute. Almost all the time, I do them at the last minute. Now, why is that? Well, I'm lazy. I don't know. Well, it's because I'm not motivated to act yet. I'll give you a real good example. Sometimes, on my car, the wipers don't clean properly. You know what? I even went part of the winter with a little strip of one of the wipers was flapping. It was actually broken. Now, I knew that there was a problem with the wipers on the car. I knew that there was a problem, but you know what? I wasn't motivated to go out and buy new wipers yet because they were still working on part of the windshield okay. But when they ripped off too much and I couldn't see out the windshield properly, guess what happened? Instantaneously, as soon as I got motivated and it was causing enough of a problem, enough pain to get me to act, absolutely, got them fixed right away. And you know what? People are identical in any market. Some people may know that they have a problem, but they're not motivated to act yet because it isn't enough of a problem. So if you can find someone who's really, really motivated, they have pain. They know they have a problem, but they need to fix it. They want to be able to fix it. They're ready for the fix. Then you're in really, really good shape. And you know what? That gets down to the final piece. Let's wipe the board off. I want to give you an example of what I mean by this. Number 10. They're ready to buy now. They're ready to buy now. This is the true test, isn't it? See, if you take a look at all of these different pieces that we talked about, ready to buy now, if you do the checklist, you got one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. So we've got our list of 9 things. And you take a look and say, I got this one, I got this one, and I got this one. Is that a pretty good market? Well, it's a market, but the thing is the amount of effort that you have to put in. If you take a look at your effort level, your effort, it's high here, it's low here. The amount of effort that you have to put in is inversely proportional to the number of check marks. So if you find a market where you can say, yeah, I got the first 6, guess what? You have to do less work. That means less education, less marketing, less time, less repeat, less use of autoresponders, less use of ads. Everything that you do with your marketing, everything that you do with your marketing, every tactic, every strategy, every process is tied to this little checklist. And it's really all of your marketing. Will fall in to here with all of the tools that you need, the tactics, and the strategies. They're all related to how many check marks you have here. Viral tools, your product, your traffic, everything is tied to this. So take the time now, go through this session one more time and write down, are they passionate? Are they irrational? Do they have money? Are they proven buyers? Are they already spending money on it? Are they insatiable or the market insatiable? Are they addicted to buying so they love doing it? Are they reachable? Are they already interested? Are they already motivated? And are they ready to buy today? Write those down and then think about or take a look at your markets and say, does my market fit these requirements? And you want to put down this little checklist and then you can put down. So for example, you can just go and you can put down and say, okay, I've got, I'll wipe these off. And then just do a little grid up. Make sure the board's clean here. There we go. Just do a grid up and just say, I've got market A, market B, market C, and market D. These are the target niches I'm looking at. And this one has this one and this one. This one has all of them. And this one only has this one, and that one has D has none. So you take a look there, and then the other thing you want to do, and we'll cover this in another session, is you want to take a look and say, okay, what's my competition? That's fine, the market looks great, but how much competition is there? And that's the other part of the equation. But for your first exercise, take some target markets, take some markets or some niches around those keywords that we looked up, and then decide, where the heck am I on this grid? Where is this market? Does it meet these requirements? Is it something I want to spend my time and my energy and my effort in? And more importantly, am I passionate about it? Because you know what? If you're not passionate about it, guess what you're not going to spend time, energy, and effort on? That's right, your business. Hope you enjoyed this little session. It's James Maduke speaking. Again, please take a chance to look through the rest of this site, the webmarketingforsmallbusiness.com site. It's a huge portal with everything you could possibly want to know about web marketing for your small business. Take care and expect the best.